you know any places any Sega nerds hang out around here?
Welcome to the Sega Nerdcast, episode 110. I'm Chris, the editor of Sega Nerds, and with me this week is my buddy Graham. How's it going, man?
Hey, guys. How's it going? How you doing, Chris?
Hey, not too bad. This is actually the second time we're recording the Nerdcast. The first recording went all screwy and sounded awful, so we're doing this again. And I really, really hope this one works out better than the last one, Graham.
Oh God, yeah, yeah. Unfortunately, last time Martin was with us, that was a good thing he was with us. Unfortunately, he's not with us this time, because we're doing it at a different time during the middle of the week. Hopefully we've got some good stuff to talk about.
You know? Maybe it'll be an addition by subtraction kind of thing, and it'll actually be better because Martin's not on here.
Whoa.
Maybe he was the reason why the audio was all jacked up last time.
Maybe. At least it wasn't my fault. That's just, I'm happy you blaming him because it's not my fault because it normally
usually,
is my fault.
It is your fault. It's typically your fault.
So yeah, let's blame Martin, that guy.
So there's actually quite a bit going on in the world of Sega and just video games in general. It's been relatively quiet from Sega over the past few weeks, but we have some fun stuff to talk about this week. So why don't we get into that, Graham? Why don't we I'll let you take us into the newsstand. How about we hit that up?
Okay, so on with the news, the latest like news sand roundup stuff. So you guys might have heard that Xbox and Microsoft are releasing a new service called Xbox Game Pass, which is a subscription-based service, kind of like EA Access, where you get 100 games, 100 Xbox 360 and Xbox One games a month. And then at the end of the month, those games will rotate and they'll put on a whole new load of games. And it's about $9.99 a month, or if you're from my side of the pond, it's £7.99, which isn't too bad, I guess, you know. But each month you get new games and stuff. I think, as far as I'm aware, this is in addition to like your Xbox Live Gold Pass. And the reason why we're talking about it is because Sega has announced that they are going to be one of the publishers who signed on with this. So there's quite a few publishers involved, like 2K, 505 Games, Bandai, Namco, Capcom, Codemasters, Deep Silver, Focus Home Interactive, SNK, THQ Nordic, and Warner Brothers, along with Sega. So there's a few publishers who've already signed up to it and stuff. We aren't completely aware of what games are going to be available for it. I'm pretty excited about this. I think it's going to be pretty cool. But Chris, what do you think about it?
I'm really excited about it. I'm really looking forward to seeing what Sega is actually going to have to offer on the Game Pass. I'm hoping that it's not going to be the same stuff that we see, you know, them put on every other system, whether it's like the same Dreamcast rehashes that, you know, have been released on different collections, like Sega Bass Fishing, Sonic Adventure. And I don't want them to go back to the same Genesis games that they release all the time too. Like, I want to see new stuff. I want to see Xbox 360 games that they've released, and I want them to bring those games back over, to the Game Pass. That way we can play them again. A great one that I think would be really cool, I know it's super far-fetched and probably won't ever happen, would be Phantasy Star Universe, which we had a lot of fun back in the day, Graham. We played that a lot, right?
That was a really fun game. The online play was great. I think I preferred Phantasy Star Online, but Phantasy Star Universe was pretty cool, and I preferred the single player mode on it. So if I wanted to be a bit of a loner, I could just sit there and play it because it had a really cool storyline. But if they were able to do that and bring those games back, like get the server up and running or whatever, then that would be something pretty damn impressive to have on that service. I know exactly what you mean, like regarding bringing old games again. I mean, I really enjoy Sonic Adventure and stuff, and like I love the fact that they're trying to support the Dreamcast stuff, but they've kind of just released sort of, was it six Dreamcast games and stopped there. I see more Dreamcast games coming out if possible. But, you know, this service is games that are on Xbox One or Xbox 360. So talking about their games that come out on Xbox, like Condemned, for example, we're both big fans of Condemned.
Oh my God.
Just seeing that come out, not sure what the licensing issues are on that and stuff, but Vanquish, for example, like that was such a fun game, Vanquish, mm-hmm. And no one bloody played it. And Bayonetta as well, Chrome Hounds. Now that's, that stop everything. That is the game.
And that has an online component too. That's going to be interesting too. Like how will they handle games that had any sort of online component and maybe that required servers? I don't know how Chrome Hounds handled that, but I wonder if they would be open to doing stuff like that.
I guess we'll have to see if they do bring back any games that had online play, if they're going to keep online play. I really hope it's not going to be, you know, Sonic the Hedgehog again, as in the Mega Drive game I've played on freaking every console I think I own. I'm surprised it's not available on the Super Nintendo at the moment, to be honest. it's on everything. So while I love Sonic the Hedgehog, I don't need it on this service that much, really. I'd like to see some of the Dreamcast games come across, I guess. But yeah, it'd be good to see the newer stuff, Xbox 360, Xbox One games appearing on this service. Mm-hmm. And unlike, I know you get, what's the PlayStation service called? PlayStation Now, is it?
Yes, yeah, PlayStation Now.
So is that the one that you stream games from? Right.
Yeah, They're basically using the Gaikai technology.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a difference in this one compared to Sony's, is that these games actually download to your console. So they'll download to your Xbox One. So you log onto the online service, as it were, and then you choose which games you want, and they'll download and save like locally. And that means you don't need to be connected to the internet all the time if you don't want to. Whereas the Sony ones, you do. Effectively, you kind of have to be online all the time to play them, which is fine, but you know, some people might have great internet. I mean, back when we had on live as a thing, I remember I had really terrible internet then, like could barely play anything. So I know the pains of that, but
interesting to see, what was his name? The Xbox guy, Phil Spencer, talk about that. He kind of threw some shade Sony's way when he said that, you basically don't have to worry about streaming it. You don't have to, you know, worry about, you know, the quality because you're downloading it directly. And I get that. I mean, I do think that there are some inherent issues with streaming a game, especially if you don't have super fast internet. But at the same time, one of the good things about PlayStation Now is you're not filling up your hard drive with games, especially these older games. Like you can, because this stuff, man, we have what is it? A 500 gig hard drive. It's what came in the original Xbox One, and we're always like completely full. So we're having to always go in and delete stuff to reinstall stuff. It's the same issue I had with the original Xbox 360. Cause I had the 15 gig or the 20 gig hard drive or whatever that came with that. And it was the same thing. Like you fill it up really quickly. And so you're constantly cycling games in and out. And so the good thing about PlayStation Now is that you're not filling your hard drive up with these games. You're just being able to stream them. And so that, so I think for some people, it's going to be good that you can just download the games and play them. But for others, like me, I prefer to be able to stream them. And I've tried out PlayStation Now, and it actually works really great for me. I've had no problems with it and really like it. But I think it's going to be one of those that depending on, you know, what your setup is like and your internet and that kind of thing. It could be either a good thing or a bad thing, I guess.
I'm sort of fine for a hard drive. So I actually bought an external 4 terabyte drive, and that perfect. Because I had my Xbox for like a week, and it filled up straight away. I was like, this is ridiculous. I was like, what the hell? So I ended up just biting the bullet and buying a big hard drive, and it's been brilliant since then. But I do think it's kind of slightly ironic, though. I don't know if anyone else in the world has ever thought of this, but when the Xbox One was first announced and Microsoft were like, it's going to be online all the time and stuff, and everyone will be like, what? Oh my God, online all the time? No, no! And like, Xbox is like, okay, we won't have it online all the time. And I know the PlayStation 4 isn't online all the time, but for Sony's service, it is online all the time.
Right, it's true.
But people don't seem to bat an eyelid about that. That's fine. That's fine. it was kind of funny, I think. Like, yeah, but I do know why PlayStation now is online all the time, and I think it's pretty cool. I've not really had experience with it, but I think it sounds like a pretty cool service. And so there's this Xbox one. So, I mean, we could have had both options, stream or download. That'd be nice, have both
options. Did you talk about the games that are coming, the new games that are coming to PlayStation now?
I did not. Do you want me to address them?
Yeah, so we just found out a couple of days ago that there's 13 new games coming to PlayStation now. Those are Alex Kidd in Miracle World, Altered Beast, Comic Zone, Fighting Vipers, Golden Axe, Revenge of Shinobi, Sega Bass Fishing, Sonic Adventure 1 and 2, Sonic the Fighters, Sonic Unleashed, Super Hang-On, and Virtua Fighter 2.
Woohoo! So, the same games as always, but yeah, right. That's... So it's pretty cool. I like the Dreamcast games and stuff, and yeah. But yeah, nice.
It seems like you were saying, these are the same games that I think they've had available on the Sony service already. And so I don't think it's anything new, really. It's just like, okay, these are games that have previously been released on the PlayStation Store, and now they're available in PlayStation Now.
Yeah, so yeah, that's fine. Yeah. Cool. So, what do you think of Xbox? Just final thought: Xbox Game Pass, yes or no?
I like it in theory. It's all going to come down to the games. So, okay. Especially from a Sega perspective, if it's these same games that we've been seeing all along, I'm not going to get too excited over it. But if they come out with those games that you and I talked about before, mm-hmm. I'm going to get really excited about it.
Oh yeah,
some Chromebound action.
Damn right. Yeah, so that's cool. So moving on, this is a Switch-related news, I guess. Toe Jam & Earl has now been announced or confirmed that it's definitely coming to the Switch, which is great. So that's Toe Jam & Earl, the new one, back in the groove. So Greg, our buddy Greg Johnson, creator of the game, he and the team announced a partnership last year with Adult Swim, which gave them the opportunity to publish Toe Jam & Earl back in the groove on consoles. So yeah, they announced in the latest Kickstarter update that it's coming to the Nintendo Switch. Woohoo! So I guess opportune timing to actually announce it, because considering the Switch has now just come out, which is really exciting. Yeah, and they'll be showing the game actually in a few days at PAX East. And yeah,
I'm not able to go there.
God damn it.
After the fiasco a few years ago, I don't think I'm allowed back.
I think you're not back to the World of Tanks party. If
I don't want to go back to the World of Tanks party. These assholes.
For anyone's wondering, it's to do with Chris and a balloon, and the fact that the bouncer didn't like him touching the balloon. And Chris didn't like the fact that the bouncer didn't like him touching the balloon, so he touched the balloon. but yeah, so if you are at PAX East in Boston on March, between March 10th and 12th, on the Saturday, they will be in the Arachnid Theatre around 12:30. So they'll be talking about the stuff there.
I'm pretty excited about that. I think it's going to be a good home for the game, the Nintendo Switch, that is. The portability aspect of it is really cool. I mean, I've been playing with my Switch since it came out, and I've used it in all the different, configurations. I haven't yet taken it out and about, but like my wife wanted to watch TV while Odin and I were playing Zelda, so we switched it into tablet mode and used the Joy-Con to play it in the living room, and that worked great. And then we even hooked the Joy-Cons up to it to use it as more of like a handheld. And that felt great as well. And the screen looks really great. I think the cooperative play that back in the groove is going to have, I think it'll also be a lot of fun. And he said that it's going to have online modes too. So you'll be able to play with your fellow Nintendo Switch players online, which will be a lot of fun.
So do you think for the cooperative play, local, you can just use one of the Joy-Cons each? Like, they've sort of advertised that some games we should be able to grab one Joy-Con each, hand it to your friend and play, because... I mean, the original Toe Jam & Earl only had like a few buttons, so you shouldn't, in theory, need a whole.
I agree. Yeah, I mean, unless he's adding in some crazy new moveset that we really haven't seen before or heard about up until now, I think you would be able to just use one of the Joy-Cons to be able to play the game. And it would even be cool if they supported four-player simultaneous play, because they are adding in a lot more playable characters this time around. And so it's not just Toe Jam & Earl or, what's her name? Who's in three?
Oh, God. What's her name?
Laquisha, right?
Laquisha, that's it.
Yeah.
Something like that. Letitia?
So there's a lot more characters this time around, and I think it would be awesome to have four-player co-op and online play. I don't know how feasible that is, but that would be very, very cool. Looking forward to that. I can't wait. That is definitely a game that's high on my list, and I'll probably buy it a couple times. I'll probably get it on the Switch and maybe on the Xbox One or PlayStation 4 to be able to play with the rest of you guys. So
That'd be awesome.
There is some news that we don't have on the outline that I think we should talk about really quickly. Lizard Cube, who's been developing Wonder Boy the Dragon's Trap, they just announced yesterday that the game is going to be coming, to the PlayStation 4, Xbox One, Nintendo Switch on April 18th.
Ooh.
And will be coming to the PC, soon after, not too long after. I'm telling you what, Graham, April is a very, very busy month for us just Sega nerds. For us on the website, writing about Sega games. So we got Persona 5 coming out on the 4th of April. Cool. Now Wonder Boy the Dragon Trap on the 18th. We have Puyo Puyo Tetris on the 25th, and then Dawn of War on PC on the 27th. So we've got four big releases, three of which are actually published by Sega Atlas. One, obviously is not. Wonder Boy the Dragon Trap is not an official Sega published or game. But yeah, I mean, you know, regardless, it's going to be a very busy month, and I'm really looking forward to playing the finished version of the Dragon's Trap. Did you see that video that they released like a week ago where you could just basically press a button to make it into the Master System style visuals? That was so cool. Yeah. I watched a video I think they did with the guys at Giant Bomb. And it's really neat to be able to go back in and see some of the levels from the original Wonder Boy games. Yeah. And then see how they reimagined them and, you know, this, you know, cool hand-drawn style that's, you know, full HD. It looks so great. And I think just from an art style, they've done such a great job with that game. I mean, for all intents and purposes, it's an HD remake of that original game. Was it Wonder Boy 3, The Dragon's Trap, right?
It's
the third one, I think.
So I can't remember. I had it on my Game Gear, the original one. But yeah, that video was, it's not the first game to do that. Switching from HD to, not HD. I mean, Halo Remastered had it, but also so did like Monkey Island, the Monkey Island games. And, as you say, it's really cool when you're playing a game, like in HD or whatever, and you think, wonder what it looked like originally, and you press it, and then the whole screen changes. Your character's sitting in the same spot. Everything's there, but it's all very different, especially like Monkey Island, and also the new Dragon's Trap game. It looks freaking awesome, and they've done a really good job. It looks so different, but at the same time not different,
right? They did say there's also another announcement coming up, I think on the 22nd, so we should sit tight for that. I'm really excited to hear what that's going to be. I don't know. I actually have the game. I have Dragon's Curse on the TurboGrafx-16, so I have the turbo port of
Dragon's Curse or Dragon's Trap.
It's called Dragon's Curse.
A different game, or
it's the same game. It's like a Turbo Graphics port of Dragon's Trap.
Okay, fair enough.
I think it looks a little bit better. It looks better than the Master System.
What? Well, that was 16-bit, wasn't it?
Yeah.
No, that's cool. Awesome. That's exciting. So. Should we go to our featured discussion?
Yeah, let's go to our featured discussion because we don't actually have a lot of time this week, so we're going to just forego some of the other pieces of news. I know there's some other stuff out there, but we want to get into our feature discussion really quickly before we run out of time. And that is the Nintendo Switch going to end up being Nintendo's Dreamcast? Ooh. Which is kind of on first pass, it might be a confusing question, but I think it's actually interesting discussion, because essentially what that means is that will this ultimately lead to Nintendo going third party? Like, if the Switch fails, like the Dreamcast ultimately did, it wasn't the savior that Sega was hoping for, and Sega was just losing too much money. They weren't getting the market share that they needed. The PlayStation 2 was just too big too big for them to overcome. Will the same thing happen with Nintendo and the Switch?
That's a very good question.
It's early, obviously. We know that. It's literally just released, been released for a week. So, but from what you've seen so far, and with the way Nintendo has been going its last few consoles, like what is your expectations and confidence level with Nintendo making the Switch succeed?
Well, yeah, it's a tough call because, I mean, obviously Nintendo has lost a huge amount of market share to both Xbox and PlayStation, like, especially in the last generation with the Wii U and stuff. Like, they had a huge leap with the original Wii. I still don't think the Wii sold a huge amount, but for general gamers in total, like, I think you saw more games coming out on the Xbox and PlayStation back then.
And then also, the Wii did sell like crazy, but it tanked towards the ends of its life. It just fell off a cliff and people just stopped buying it. I mean, really bad, to the point where I want to say the PS3 and Xbox 360 were outselling it. Not in total numbers, but just through those last few years, they were crushing it.
So I think here's the thing about the Switch. The positives are it does seem quite cool, like, especially, you know, as games and stuff have come onto like smartphones and stuff, mobile gaming has become more attractive, but mobile games have their very limitations, whereas the Switch seems to bridge that barrier. Everyone's saying it's a hybrid console. You can take it out and about, which is great, but you're actually playing proper games. You're not playing Angry Birds, which I love Angry Birds, but you're not playing like the really basic runner games that everyone keeps making. So it's kind of really cool to see that. And I think in a way, especially at the start, it's going to have a huge success like the Wii did. However, the downsides of it are, I mean, the actual technical aspects of it, the power behind the system, the games look really good right now, but compared to the Xbox One and PlayStation 4, as far as I'm aware, it's just nowhere near as powerful. And especially with like the Scorpio coming out, the Xbox Scorpio, and you've got the PlayStation 4 Pro, which all promising like proper high definition 4K gaming, I think the Switch might start to fall behind simply because not necessarily from a gamer perspective, but from publishers and developers, like, they're going to see the limitations of the Switch eventually and be like, we want to make a game you can do all this stuff in, like huge stuff, like big open worlds and, you know, stuff, where the Switch might be a bit more limited and might not be able to do that, which is very much like what happened with the original Wii and the Wii U. You saw games that came out on like, this is probably a great example. I don't know if this is a great example, but Far Cry came out on the Xbox 360. It was just kind of, as far as I'm aware, it's just like the PC version. I played the PC version briefly, and the Xbox 360 version seemed very similar. The Wii version came out, was completely different. They had to actually redo the whole game, and they dumbed everything down. The graphics were a lot worse. The enemy AI was a lot worse. It was actually still a really fun game, but they really had to strip it back because the Wii wasn't capable of it. So that might go against the Switch's favor in the long run. So to answer the actual question that we're talking about, I don't know if it would necessarily mean the death of Nintendo as such. I think Nintendo's always been very, very clever with the way they make their consoles and the way they market them and stuff. I mean, they have like a handful of games which always sell really well. So they're always getting money coming in. I mean, the Wii did really well for them. The Wii U, not so much. The 3DS seems to be still doing very well for them. So they're getting money coming in quite well, quite regularly. But they also build their consoles on a lower spec. It keeps their prices down. so they actually make money from the consoles. I don't know if that's the case with the Switch. I mean, I sort of mentioned the Switch's power is a bit less than the other competition. I don't know if they're definitely making money off each unit, but so far, since the GameCube especially, the GameCube did not beat the Xbox or the PlayStation, but Nintendo actually made more profit from those consoles than Microsoft and Sony did. Microsoft and Sony lost money on every console they sold. Nintendo didn't, which is great.
Right. So, I think what's going to ultimately decide a lot of that we're talking about now. So, you know, as consoles go through different iterations and versions, the manufacturers are able to cut costs. You know, just they're saving money on parts. As time goes on, parts get cheaper. They streamline operations, and they're able to a lot of times they're able to pass that savings on to the consumer so they can sell more volume, right? So that's why you see consoles, throughout its life, they get cheaper and cheaper. That wasn't the case with the Wii U, and I think a lot of that had to do with the fact that the tablet was just very expensive to manufacture. And if you go back and look at it, I don't think Nintendo ever really did a great job on making it an integral part of the experience. Like, you didn't need the tablet to be able to enjoy most Wii U games. It simply served as a map or, you know, like in Mario Kart, you could look down and press a button to honk a horn. You could see, who's in first place, that kind of thing. There really wasn't a lot of games that utilize it very well. And so I thought that ended up being a huge mistake on Nintendo's part, because it meant that they couldn't cut the prices of the system. If you look at it, it's still what, $299. I think it's essentially the same price as the Switch. So
yeah.
If Nintendo can continue to revise the hardware and find ways to cut costs from the manufacturing costs and continue to lower the price as they go forward, in the coming years, I think it's going to be a big deal, because we're going to continue to see Sony cut the prices of the base model, and Sony Microsoft on their base, Xbox One and PS4, while they're going to be, Sony already has the PS4 Pro, Xbox has the Scorpio, coming up. Those are going to be more higher end game systems. But what they're going to be doing is they're going to, use the original Xbox One and PS4 to undercut a lot of what Nintendo is hoping to do, because they'll be able to drop the price eventually to, $150 or something like that. And how is Nintendo going to compete with that when there is a more powerful system for half the price of what you have? It's going to be very tough. So Nintendo, I think, for what they have to do is they just, for one, need to focus on creating great games, which they always do, but they need to have more of them, and they need to have more of the games that people want. People have been begging and screaming for a new Metroid game for years, a new traditional Star Fox game. Just if they can focus on bringing those games to market and continue to expand their portfolio like they've done with Splatoon and some other really cool games that they've released on the Wii U and that are going to be coming to the Switch, I think they have a good chance at competing, or just being a success. I don't think that they're going to be able to really compete with the Xbox One or the PS4. I think the Switch still is a secondary system for a lot of people. But I still think there's room in the marketplace for the Switch to be a success and for it to have good numbers. And actually, the first few days we've seen that. According to Yahoo, the first 2 days of the Switch, it sold 313,000 Switch systems compared to 371,000 for the Wii. And so it's down about, roughly 50 or 60,000 or so. But the Wii was incredibly popular. And so I think that's pretty good, but also, it's apparently broken this, record in the Americas for Nintendo's best selling, system to date, in its first launch, apparently. Let me see here. It looks like Breath of the Wild broke the record for best-selling standalone game in the same period, in the same 2 days. It beat Mario 64. So wow. There's no numbers yet, but this is just what Nintendo has released. So it looks like it did outsell the Wii in its first 2 days on the market in North, Central, and South America. So it's off to a good start.
That's good. But you actually just mentioned something, the games. I haven't bought a Switch myself because I thought it was actually too expensive, and there's literally one game I wanted to buy, Zelda, which you can get on the Wii U. So I got it on the Wii U. Right now, I haven't really seen any games that really excite me. I know there's Bomberman, which looks pretty cool, but what else is there? I mean,
Puyo Puyo Tetris.
I just don't know. It's just Toe Jam and Earl, there we go. But that's also coming on the Xbox One, which I already own an Xbox One. I'm going to get it on the Xbox One. You know, I don't want to buy a new console just to play this one game.
Yeah, that's fair, right?
So, yeah, and a lot of the games that I've seen come out or that were in the launch lineup seem to be just, you know, ported, which is, again, is fine if you're a huge Nintendo fan and you just want to buy Nintendo systems. That's great. You get to play all these other games. But for the general gamer who might own a PlayStation 4 and an Xbox One, you know, I guess you need to see something new. Zelda is a great example of a great game, but, you know, I ended up buying a Wii U to get Zelda, basically, and some other old Wii U games that I wanted to play, but it was a cheaper option for me because I really wanted to play the Zelda because it looks amazing. But so yeah, it was cheaper for me to go and buy, it's like a good £150 cheaper for me to go and buy a Wii U and Zelda that way. So yeah, I don't know.
Once you Switch doesn't captivate you.
You know, that game does excite me a lot, but no, that game looks, I don't think it looks terrible. I just think that's not that shouldn't be a game sold separately. That should be a bundled game, surely. I mean, that's nuts. It really doesn't look like it's going to be much more entertaining than for like a party or two here and there. Like you'll play it for like an hour and then be like, yeah, that's fine.
I do agree that I think it should have been a pack-in title.
It's like Wii Sports. I thought Wii Sports was really fun. I would never have bought that separately. I mean, it's fun, like, to have friends around and just to show you off the system so your mates like, yeah, so we'll play tennis together. Yeah, so, you know. But I know it's sold separately in Japan. The Japanese loved it. But I think in the West, it wouldn't have sold separately. You know, it's not that kind of game. Mm.
Yeah. There are some other cool games that are going to be coming out that I think there is reason to be excited for. ARMS looks like it's going to be a pretty interesting game. There's Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, which is going to have some pretty interesting additions, like a true versus mode, like there was back in the older games. I think that's going to be a big pickup for a lot of people. May not necessarily be a system seller. It may not, make you want to run out and buy it, but that's going to end up being there. They've been able to get some pretty cool indie games coming out for the system. I know the new Binding of Isaac Afterbirth Plus is going to be coming out here soon. I think it's already gone gold and the copy is already being printed now. So there's a lot of interesting games, both from big publishers, from indie developers. They're having some Neo Geo games coming out on it, which is going to be pretty cool. And Blaster Master Zero comes out actually today. Wow, I'm gonna have to go pick that up.
Cool.
It comes out today, so it's $10.
There you go.
But and then also Skyrim, Graham.
I already own that on my PC, Xbox 360, and Xbox One.
But can you take it with you on the go? Can you play it in an airplane?
Not entirely. I can play. Well, you can play it. I can play it around my house or in the garden with the Xbox streaming service on my PC, like on my laptop, but I can't play it on the plane. No,
exactly.
I don't know. The game's like five. How old's the game now? Was it 11/11/11 or something? It came out or something.
Same day as the Dreamcast. It does seem so old now. It's been around forever.
I'm sure Skyrim came out like 6 years ago. Why? I'm actually just Googling.
It's had to come out longer than that.
Yeah, 11th of the 11th of the 2011. So it's been out for
like 5.5 years.
6 years. Yeah. So it's I've played that. I love Skyrim. I will keep playing Skyrim. I'm not going to buy a Switch for it. Let's put it that way. I know.
I will say Fast RMX is a really good game. It's kind of a Wipeout / F-Zero style game. But it has a neat gameplay mechanic where you have to switch your color from green to blue when you hit these to match the corresponding boost pads that you go across. So it's kind of like Ikaruga in a way, like when you have to swap back and forth.
Yeah.
But you do that. So if you go from blue to yellow, but if you're say your color is blue and you go over a yellow strip and you don't switch it in time, it slows you down really bad. And if you are going over a big jump and you don't hit the right color, then you'll basically you won't get enough distance to clear the jump, and you'll fall into a pit and you get slowed down quite a bit. So it adds a fun gameplay mechanic there that is easy to learn, but it just adds another fun facet to it. We played it all weekend long, and it's 4-player co-op as well, in addition to, I think, 4-player multiplayer online. I should say a 4-player local multiplayer, not co-op. But me and my kids, we have 3 controllers, so we were able to do a 3-way race. And it was a lot of fun. I can say right now, I am very happy with my purchase, and I have I have optimism about this system, and I think that's a good thing because it's something that Nintendo hasn't had for a very long time.
Yeah.
I think what they want to do is just reset from the Wii U and just completely forget about it and focus on going forward. And I just hope that they don't repeat some of those same mistakes, with the Wii U.
Yeah, I do think the Switch looks like a really cool system. I'm not dissing it. I just, right now, there's nothing that makes me want to, no real games of me make me want to go out and buy it straight away. But I do hope they succeed with it. I think it looks really cool. So
yeah, and I completely understand where you're coming from that perspective too. Like, if you're a Wii owner and you're not necessarily looking to upgrade, I think you can play Zelda Breath of the Wild. It looks it looks identical on the Wii. So you're not really losing out, unless you want to just do the portability thing. We're going to be going on lots of, trips this summer, long drives and things like that with a family. So I want to test it out in the car. And see how well it handles up on a road trip. I think I'm really excited to do that with the kids and see how well they enjoy it. But if you're not, if you're not in one of those situations right now, I don't think you need to run out and find a Wii or a Switch. And I don't think you really can anymore either. I think they're pretty much sold out everywhere, that'll be that's part and parcel with Nintendo though. They always do that with their hardware. So it's nothing to be too crazy over. But yeah, time will tell, and good luck to Nintendo. I mean, Sega's obviously supporting them quite a bit. They have Sonic Mania, Project Sonic 17's coming out. Atlas has some stuff coming out, a new Shin Megami Tensei game's coming out for it. And maybe we'll start seeing some of these other old Genesis games, like all these PlayStation Now games, like you'll see Comic Zone and Sonic Adventure, all the other crap that Sega throws on every other platform. If they come out with Sonic 1 or Sonic 2 as the first Genesis release, I'm going to lose my mind. Everything, I feel like we could license Sonic 1 and just put it on
a toaster,
and it would be, Sega would charge us like $50 at this point. Like, it's the worst. It's out on everything. All of my devices play Sonic 1, and I don't need another device that can also play it. So, don't do it, Sega. Don't you even think about doing it.
Oh, man. Well, should we briefly talk about what we've been playing?
Do we have time? Do you have time?
I might have like 5 minutes.
Okay.
I think.
All right. Yeah, go for it. I'll let you go first.
Okay, so, I mean, I've been playing a few games. As I say, I got a Wii U recently. I've been playing a bit of Xenoblade Chronicles, a bit of Sonic Lost World, but mostly been playing Zelda, Breath of the Wild. I know everyone's been talking about this on the internet lately, but it's our turn now. Well, let's be
good.
I am enjoying it. However,
uh-oh.
I'm not like everyone on the internet who was like, oh my god, this is the best game ever. The first couple of hours, I was bored. I was really bored of the game. I was like, when you first come out of like, this isn't a spoiler really, you'll see it in like YouTube videos, the first thing you do is basically walk out of a little tomb and you go onto like a cliff edge and you see the world, and it looks bloody amazing. I mean, I know there's technically more advanced games, graphically superior games out there, but they've done an amazing job with this game. It looks stunning. Like, the art style is amazing. The world is huge, and you can see for miles, and it's awesome. And I love that. But I actually found myself getting really bored really quickly. Like, the first area you're in is, it's kind of small. It's not too small. It's actually quite a decent sized area. But, I mean, the game really opens up. But the first bit, I was actually kind of like, kind of a bit bored. I also was not happy with their combat choice. If you guys don't know, you, like, in all other Zelda games, you basically pick up a sword and a shield, and then, like, you'll gradually get a bow and arrow and stuff, and those are the weapons you have with the game. I know, I think it was it Wind Waker in Skyward Sword, you start to be able to pick up enemies' weapons. In this game so far, you can only pick up enemies' weapons. You don't get a permanent weapon, and the enemies' weapons break. They're, like, made out of crackers or something. Like, they break so quickly, and it's so annoying. And, like, at the start of the game, you only get like a few slots to be able to hold the weapons, so you have to like forego picking up a weapon, and only to have one of the other weapons break quite quickly on. And you're like, oh my god! And you know, I'm just not happy with that choice of design. Really, I think it'd be great if you could pick up those weapons and they could break and stuff. But if you got like a permanent sword, for example, but maybe the sword might be slightly weaker than some other weapons, like, because some of the weapons have great uses, like you can get a big hammer or a big axe, which will knock weapons out of other enemies' hands and stuff. You get some weapons which work better on other enemies and stuff. So I think you could have had the option to pick up enemies' weapons and stuff. However, beside those gripes, I mean, there's still some other little mini complaints I've got about it. The game is still really amazing. It kind of feels empty to me, which is, I guess, kind of works for what the game's going for, because it's meant to be the aftermath of like a massive calamity and stuff that happened hundreds of years ago. But I kind of feel like there was one point I was running along for like a good half an hour in real time, half an hour, and didn't see a bloody thing. Like, the world looked amazing, and I saw the odd enemy in the distance, but I didn't actually run into anyone. So it was kind of like pretty much empty at times. But I've been making lots of progress, and it's really cool. There's some stuff in the game. This is the first Zelda game I've ever had difficulty where I keep dying. Like, I've never really died that much in Zelda games before, but I've died so many times. It kind of reminds me of Dark Souls in a way. Like, you come across enemies which you, like, you think, oh, I can take this guy down, and you die. You're like, wait, what? Or you'll come across an enemy which terrifies you. There's been a few enemies that have completely scared the living crap out of me, and other things like the weather is awesome. I mean, I've never really, I mean, weather looks cool in games, but this is actually has weather that actually affects you. Like, have you been out in the weather, Chris? Have you been out when it's light, when there's a thunderstorm going?
I've not yet been out in a thunderstorm. It's still pretty, not very far into the game.
Oh man.
I've got the paraglider though.
Hey! So you basically got past the first bit of the game. Excellent. Yeah. So like basically the weather changes, the weather patterns change and stuff. But you get like lightning, and when it starts to lightning, like thunder and lightning, you kind of have to get into cover. Like, lightning doesn't just like come across, like in some games you might get lightning and it's just like flashes in the sky. It's like, oh, that's nice and pretty. This has lightning bolts that slam into the ground, and it gets attracted to any metal objects you've got on you. Which I didn't realize until recently. But yeah, if you're carrying a sword or a shield that's made out of metal, or your bow and arrow, you've got to unequip them, because the lightning will start to spark around you and you get hit by it. If you are in a situation where you need the weapon, like you're getting attacked or something, you've got to run undercover, basically. You can get, like, if there's a cliff face which has got an overcrop on it, you can kind of get under that. But the first few times it happened, I was just terrified. Like, there's one bit where I was just stuck under a cliff face because I didn't know you could unequip the weapons. Like, I just thought it attacked you. So I was just sitting there for like, in game, it was a few hours in game. Like, in real life, it was maybe like 10 minutes. But I was just sitting there going, this is quite scary. And just exploring in the game is amazing. Like, I've come across things that I don't think I even meant to. I saw something, I was like, oh, I might go and check that out. And I've checked it out, and it turned out to be an amazing bit of the game. It's my favorite bit of the game so far. But I don't want to say what it is, because it'll ruin it for people. So,
don't say what it is.
I won't. It's okay. So, Chris, yeah, well, what have you been playing?
What have I been playing? I have been playing a little bit of Zelda. Odin and I have been having a ton of fun with it. It's really great. Going back to kind of what you were saying about the weapons breaking, it is a pain in the ass because I would let Odin play and then I'd walk away for a few minutes to go do something else. I'd come back and he would have broken all of our swords and shot all of our arrows. So I come back and there's nothing left. And so I have to kind of rebuild that. So it would be, I would like it if there was a way to repair items or something like that. The one cool thing though is that every enemy you defeat will basically drop his weapon. And so if, as long as you're coming across enemies and you're not just wasting your weapons, it's easy enough to, find things along the way. And from what I've seen, I think there's a fairly complex like crafting system in there too, where you're able to craft new weapons and things like that, right?
Oh, really? I have not come across this yet.
Maybe I'm just completely talking out of my ass, but I thought there was.
There was something I picked up which says this is an item that you can, because you pick up loads of items in the world. I picked up one which said something about crafting outfits and weapons, but I wasn't sure if that's like I could give it to someone or I could do it myself. This is the thing again about the game which I like, but it's also kind of annoying. They don't give you any hand-holding. Like, there's so much stuff in the game that they just don't tell you about. And that's really refreshing, because back in the olden days, you wouldn't know what to do.
I agree. I absolutely agree. And I think that this is one of the things that annoys me by most Nintendo games, because there's so much hand-holding. It makes the first part of the game so long, because you're having to go through so many different screens. It's telling you, how do you swing your weapon, or how do you pick up an item? It's stuff that everyone knows, but they feel like there's a lot of hand-holding. Like, this game feels like it's made for a more mature gamer, and I like that about it.
There's some stuff that like I say, the lightning stuff, I didn't know you can unequip weapons to actually get away from the lightning, and there's loads of stuff in the game. And talking about it being made for mature gamers, I do think that some bits in the game which will be too frightening for the younger audience, like really young audience, or like there's just some enemies I've come across which just kind of freak me out. I see one on the kind of distance, like, yep, I'm going a different way. I can't deal with that right now.
It also does a really cool job of having multiple ways to go and defeat enemies. It's not just running there and shoot them with arrows or just bash them with a sword. There's other things that you can use at your disposal, which makes it a lot more fun, especially if you don't have any weapons because your son broke them all. You have to figure out like an alternative way of using fire or big rocks or something like that. I'm definitely going to be playing some more of Breath of the Wild. Hopefully I'll be able to play it today actually and get a little bit farther into it.
And one thing I think it does better than any other open world RPG adventure game I've played is the fact that you can climb almost any surface. Like, if you see a mountain, you can start running up the mountain. If it gets too tricky, you start climbing, which is awesome. You're limited by your stamina, but you can upgrade your stamina as you go along and stuff. And there are other ways to get up. So yeah, it's not just, oh, I need to walk up a path. You actually can you can climb buildings. You can climb trees. Climbing trees is awesome. Like, just to see where you're going and stuff. And it's weird. I think this is an amazing game, but it's like the least Zelda-like game ever. It's almost like a bad job of being a Zelda game, but it is a really good game, if that makes sense. Like, it's nothing like any Zelda game I've ever played before. And that's good and bad. Depends on what side you sit on. I'm enjoying it though, and I'm going to continue playing it for probably the next few weeks or so. But yeah, we'll see where it goes.
So one game that I've been playing a lot of others, but I'll quickly talk about Berserk and the Band of the Hawk. It just came out recently on the PlayStation 4. And you probably know, Graham, I'm a huge Berserk fan. I love it. Since I first got introduced to the Berserk universe, when the original one came out on the Dreamcast, Berserk and the Band, or Sword of the Berserk Guts Rage.
Yeah, great game.
And I love that game. And then that's when I learned that there is an anime and there's a manga, and I was just started watching that, reading that stuff, and I just learned there was so much more about Berserk than just what was in that game. And really, Sword of Berserk is just kind of a side story. It's not really talked about, or it's not in any of the canon that you see throughout the manga or anime. But for what it was, I thought it was great. But it introduced me to that. There was also a Berserk game that was released on the PlayStation 2 in Japan. It was never released over here, and I imported that. But I've never been able to play it because I've never been able to get my PlayStation 2 to be able to play import games. So I was really, really excited about this new Berserk game. It's kind of a Dynasty Warrior style game. I don't know if you're very familiar with those games, Graham.
I know they exist. I've never ever played one, so I don't actually know what to expect. Like,
That's kind of how it was with me. I knew about them and I was kind of familiar with it, but you basically just fight droves and droves of enemies. It's a big hack and slash game. That style of game fits Berserk perfectly, especially with Guts's giant sword. You're just cutting through loads of enemies, and it seems like a lot of fun. It has some really cool – it has lots of extras, neat unlockable characters that you can get. So I am really looking forward to getting further and further into this game. So but that's what I've been playing. I think we're pretty much out of time now. I know, Graham, you got to shoot off. Yeah. So that's going to do it for us this week. Remember to follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/TheSegaNerds. Twitter is at SegaNerds. Be sure to check out Megavisions. Issue 2 is out right now. It's all about Yakuza, tons of Yakuza stuff, tons of retro reviews in there, tons of new reviews and awesome columns. You can get it. It's just download the Megavisions app on whatever app store that you prefer. It's on Google Play, iOS, everywhere. Just search for Megavisions. You'll be able to download the app, and then you'll be able to purchase an issue for $3.99. You'll be able to get it that way. And if you want, we even have our zero issue available for absolutely free. So you can kind of check out some of the neat things that makes Megavisions unique when compared to your average boring magazine.
Yeah.
All right, Graham, that's going to do it for this week. We will be back next week. Take it easy.
Catch you later, guys. Show you.